This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silence them. I'm your host, Lane, and this is episode 29, Brinley and Connor Snyder. On September 23, 2019, 36-year-old Lisa Snyder of Albany Township, Pennsylvania, called 911 and reported her two children were unresponsive. When first responders arrived, they found a scene straight out of a horror movie or any mother's nightmare. In the basement of the modest brick home, 8-year-old Connor and 4-year-old Brinley were hanging by their necks from either end of a wire dog lead wrapped around a support beam in the ceiling. Lisa's story pushing the theory of a murder-suicide perpetuated by 8-year-old Connor, who she said had been bullied in school, quickly fell apart. And a few months later, investigators had enough evidence to charge Lisa with not only the murders of her two children, but other baffling and frankly disgusting crimes as well. This is the unimaginable story of Connor and Brinley Snyder. My sources for this week were The Daily Beast, The Morning Call, Heavy, BuzzFeed News, True Crime Society, The Reading Eagle, GoFundMe, The Washington Post, The New York Post, The Crime Chicken Fried Facebook page, Metro, The Mercury, 6ABC, WFMZ, the Connor and Brinley Snyder Homicide Case Discussion Group Facebook page, and Pennsylvania's Unified Judicial System website. I want to give a shout out to my latest patron, Jackie W. from Telford, PA. Thank you so much for your support, Jackie. If anyone else would like to contribute to my goal of devoting myself full-time to the podcast and the blog, visit sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com and click Become a Patron at the upper right-hand side of the page. Your support means the world to me. Thank you all so much. I chose to cover this story this particular week for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that September is Suicide Prevention Month. On top of that, this is also National Suicide Prevention Week, and September 10th is World Suicide Prevention Day. While this case has proven not to be a murder-suicide, I still feel it's an important story to tell right now. Also, the one-year anniversary of these precious kids' deaths is approaching, and this episode will come out almost exactly between Brinley's birthday on August 4th and Connor's on October 12th. It feels like a good time to honor these two little sweethearts who were adored by everyone in their lives except the one person who should have been willing to give her own life to protect theirs. This case is truly horrific, so brace yourselves. At about 4:30 p.m. on September 23, 2019, 36-year-old Lisa Snyder called 911 to report a situation beyond any mother's worst nightmare. She had discovered her children, 8-year-old Connor and 4-year-old Brinley, unresponsive and hanging by their necks in the basement of the family's home at 2442 Route 143 in Albany Township, Pennsylvania. Recordings of communications between a 911 dispatcher and emergency responders detail information Lisa provided during her 911 call. Categorizing the call as a pediatric cardiac arrest with two patients, the dispatcher told responders the children were both found hanging in the basement of the Snyder home.
5-5-5-9-0 from the caller. Both children are in their unknown time at this time.
Bert, can you repeat that?
4-1, both children are hanging in the basement.
Bert, Captain 44-1.
Captain 44,
any indication from the caller if the scene is safe or how these children ended up there?
She mentioned that the 8-year-old has been bullied and has made threats of doing this, but didn't want to go alone. It sounds like he may be the aggressor in the situation. At this time, it should just be the mother and the two children on scene.
Lisa, a supposedly frantic mother who had just discovered her two young children hanging by their necks, had taken the time to fill in the 911 dispatcher with information that can only be described as alibi building. Lisa's 911 call has not been released to the public. When EMTs arrived at about 4:41 p.m., they found that, according to an affidavit filed in the case, the victims were observed hanging approximately 3 feet apart from a single wired cable dog lead with vinyl coating and ends containing swivel eye-snap hooks. The wire was wrapped around the main support beam of the basement, and each end of the wire wrapped around the victims' necks. In the area of the victims were two wooden bar-height dining room chairs knocked over on their sides. Brinley and Connor were immediately airlifted to Lehigh Valley Hospital in Cedar Crest. They were in full cardiac arrest, but during transport, both Connor and Brinley were revived, and both remained on life support for 3 days in the pediatric intensive care unit. During that time, Lisa was not allowed unsupervised visits with her children. She was required to be accompanied by security. After 3 days, the decision was made to remove the children from life support. According to the coroner's statement, on Thursday, September 26, 2019, 4-year-old Brinley Louise Snyder was pronounced dead at 4:26 p.m. Her older brother, 8-year-old Connor Seth Snyder, died at 4:40 p.m. Both children's organs, tissues, and corneas were donated, which is one small comfort amidst the horror. From the start, police were suspicious of the story told by Lisa Snyder, and an investigation was immediately launched. This next detail is not in any way indicative of Lisa's guilt, although combined with the other evidence turned up by the investigation, it does make her look really bad. While her children were both still on life support in the hospital, Lisa was on Facebook, posting the family's above-ground swimming pool for sale on a community yard sale page. In the description, she stated,
"I'm selling this like-new pool to help pay for my children's final expenses as they were in a horrible accident."
At the end of the description, she added,
"Serious inquiries only, please. I have a lot to deal with right now because of the loss of my children. Please don't waste my time."
Autopsies on Connor and Brinley were conducted on September 30th at the Lehigh County Coroner's Office. Initially, the results were inconclusive, and the coroner's office said more forensic testing was needed to determine the cause and manner of death. Wednesday, October 12, 2019, would have been Connor's 9th birthday, which about 60 family members and friends honored by gathering at the Kempton Community Center for a balloon launch. When the multicolored balloons were released into the sky, the crowd began to sing "Happy Birthday."
"Catch them, Connor,"
a woman called out as the balloons floated away. Connor and Brinley's 17-year-old brother, Owen, was among the family members in attendance. Their mother, Lisa Snyder, was not. I know I've talked about this before, both on the blog and in my podcast episode about Frankie Gonzalez, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it again. While a balloon launch is always intended as a lovely memorial gesture, more people need to be aware of what a danger balloons pose to wildlife and the environment. Please visit balloonsblow.org. Balloons Blow is a nonprofit organization raising awareness about the dangers of releasing balloons and other items into the sky that will ultimately fall back to Earth as trash. Also on Connor's birthday, staff and students at his elementary school blew bubbles and organized a human rainbow in his honor. I'll include a photo of that in the Facebook album for this episode. At the time of his death, Connor attended third grade at the Greenwich Lenhartsville Elementary School in Crumsville, and according to Superintendent Christian Temchatten, the little boy was loved by many.
Connor was a beloved member of the Greenwich Elementary School community, who enjoyed his peers and teachers. He's dearly missed, is fondly remembered for the smile that he brought on his face and he brought to the people he encountered each day.
I apologize if I mangled the pronunciation of the superintendent's name. A funeral was held for Brinley and Connor, but the only people allowed to attend were reportedly Lisa, her mother Eileen, Eileen's husband, Lisa's sister Becky, and a grandparent. Even the kid's 17-year-old brother, Owen, did not attend. Lisa told police during the course of 2 interviews that Connor had been bullied in school and had told her multiple times that he wanted to die. She told police,
"He is overweight, has a speech delay, he needs the extra help, a little slower to grasp things. Kids make fun of him because he is fat."
Nice way to put that, Mom. She also told them Connor had lost 25 pounds since school started at the beginning of September as a result of starving himself. Connor's autopsy revealed that he weighed approximately 150 pounds at the time of his death, which meant he would have been closer to 175 pounds at the beginning of school, if what Lisa said was correct. I would think weight loss that drastic would have been a major cause for alarm, and that Lisa definitely would have sought medical or even psychological help for her son if that were true, but there's no evidence whatsoever that she did so. According to court documents, Lisa told investigators,
"He tells me he hates school. Every day he tells me he doesn't want to talk about school. He just comes home and he's just angry."
She also said,
"We had a little sit-down last week, and I told him, 'Honey, if you ever feel like hurting yourself, please come to me.' He did say to me when we were talking, 'I would have killed myself already, but I am scared to go by myself.'"
Lisa suggested to police that this was the reason Connor chose his younger sister to die with him, so he didn't have to go alone. According to Lisa, when Connor came home from school on September 23rd, he asked Brinley to go downstairs to build a fort with him. Lisa said Connor loved building forts. She told police,
"That's his thing."
She also told police about the children.
"They play downstairs in the basement all the time."
However, Lisa's then 17-year-old son, Owen, who also lived in the home but was at work at the time of the incident, later told investigators it was not normal for his younger siblings to play in the basement. He said Connor and Brinley were terrified of the basement and usually built forts in the living room with chairs and couch cushions. According to Owen, he only remembered a single time when his younger siblings had played in the basement, and that was when they had received scooters for Christmas and couldn't ride them outside. Lisa told police that on September 23rd, Connor took the two dining room chairs downstairs with him as fort-building supplies, describing hearing him carry each chair down the stairs separately and saying it was a slow go because the chairs were heavy. She told them,
"It took him a while, but he got them down there."
Lisa said she had ordered the wire dog lead cable the day before from Walmart's website and had picked it up from the Hamburg store location the morning of the incident. And according to her, Connor noticed the tie-out on the table and asked if he could use it to build the fort. Allowing this, Lisa said she stepped outside to walk Boomer, a 5-month-old, 50-pound black husky pit bull mix, and to smoke a cigarette, which she said normally took her 3 to 4 minutes, but because she was throwing Boomer's toy with him, she was outside for about 10 minutes. When she returned to the house and went downstairs to ask the kids if they wanted frozen pizza or Chef Boyardee for dinner, she said, she found them hanging and unresponsive. According to Lisa's police interviews, she said she tried to lift 40-pound Brinley, but said when her anxiety spiked, she tended to sweat profusely, so she was unable to get the latch to the dog lead undone. She then tried to lift Connor, who again weighed about 150 pounds, but she was unable to, so she went upstairs, called 911, and according to court documents, never returned to the basement. Now I ask you, what mother, even if she was slippery as a greased pig, would find her children hanging by their necks and simply leave them there? She didn't try to cut the wire, she explained, because she had nothing sharper than a pair of safety scissors in the house. I don't know about you, but God forbid I happened upon a scene like that, I'd be grabbing the entire knife block and sawing at that cable with everything I was worth. Lisa was known to refinish furniture. She also didn't think to look in the garage for a saw, bolt cutters, or any kind of tool to cut her kids down. Also, there were houses on either side of the Snyder home. What about running to a neighbor's house? Failing that, she could have at the very least moved the bar-height dining room chairs underneath the kids so they weren't just dangling there. Anything to give them even the slightest chance of taking a breath. Lisa Snyder did nothing. She left her children hanging in the basement and never returned to help, comfort, or even check on them. The identity of Connor and Brinley's father has been a source of speculation online. Lisa told police that he was never involved in the children's lives. She herself had never married, although she became a mother as a teenager when Owen came along as a result of Lisa's relationship with a man named Jason Hudak. Connor's father, and possibly Brinley's as well, appears to be a man named Ryan Blaze, who, as Lisa said, simply did not have contact with the kids. At the time of the children's deaths, Lisa had not been employed outside the home for approximately 5 years. She reportedly worked part-time from home doing medical coding, and she also made craft projects, including furniture restoration, that she sold for income. There is no indication as to why she did not work outside the home. In the 2 months after Brinley and Connor died, Lisa spent a large amount of her time on Facebook, where she created a group to memorialize her children, mostly posting photos of the kids. She changed her Facebook name several times, evidently making it harder for the public to find her. Interestingly, she reportedly created at least 2 fake profiles under the names Amanda Smith and Polly Paradise, which she used to infiltrate true crime groups on Facebook, including groups dedicated to the murder of her children, to see what people were saying about her. She even allegedly interacted with people, discussing her own case while pretending to be someone else, claiming to know Lisa Snyder since high school, and defending her in multiple comment threads. Very bizarre behavior for a mother who claimed to be innocent. During the investigation, police served several search warrants in the case, which were served on September 23rd, 24th, and 27th, as well as October 2nd and 4th. Investigators seized various items from the home, including a UMX cell phone, the vinyl-coated wire dog tie-out used to hang the children, the two wooden dining chairs that were tipped over near the scene, two iPads, a laptop computer, and an Xbox. After the initial searches, police were surprised to learn from Owen that his mother had more than one cell phone. As a result, investigators ultimately seized five cellular devices, although a Samsung Galaxy Note 9 that Lisa claimed she lost on the very day her children were mortally injured has to date never been found. According to one of the search warrants,
the 8-year-old victim is known to play video games and view various internet websites utilizing the Xbox gaming console.
That would explain why the Xbox was seized. Although the investigations seemed to stall for a couple of months after Connor and Brinley died, behind the scenes, police were working diligently to get to the bottom of the incident. Despite dozens of interviews, they unearthed exactly zero evidence that Connor was bullied at school. By all accounts, he was not bullied and had never expressed thoughts of suicide. What it appeared was that Lisa Snyder had been attempting for at least 2 weeks to lay the groundwork for the supposed murder-suicide to occur. Older brother Owen told police that when Lisa mentioned Connor was picked on at school, he asked his younger brother about it, but Connor denied being bullied. In footage from Connor's school bus on the afternoon of September 23rd, Connor is seen getting off the bus and running up to the house, showing no signs of distress or any demeanor other than that of a happy, normal child. Kimberlyn Watson, the daughter of Lisa's first cousin Stephanie, told Pennsylvania State Trooper Jared Clugston that she had received a text message from Lisa on September 16th stating that Connor was suicidal over being bullied by other kids. Kimberlyn told the trooper, however, that she picked Connor up from school the same day and thought he seemed totally fine. She saw him sitting with his friends laughing when she pulled up to the school, and he never said a word to her about being bullied or wanting to hurt himself. Kimberlyn told the trooper that 3 weeks prior to that incident, Lisa came over and told her and her mother, Stephanie, that she was depressed and, at times, unable to get out of bed. When Stephanie questioned the junk food Lisa was feeding Connor and Brinley, Kimberlyn said, Lisa told Stephanie that
she does not care anymore about her kids.
During interviews on September 27th and November 7th, Corporal Johnny Sloboda of the Pennsylvania State Police interviewed a certified occupational therapist assistant who worked with Connor during his second and third grade school years. The therapist told Corporal Sloboda that Connor, who had low hand-to-eye coordination and difficulty using his index finger and thumb pinched together, would have had difficulty operating the clasp on the wire dog lead due to his poor dexterity. When she was shown a crime scene photograph of the dog lead wrapped around the beam in the basement and told perpetrating the act would have required Connor to stand on a chair, the therapist said it would have been extremely difficult for him to complete these tasks. It took Connor twice as long to do things compared to other children his age due to his difficulty with motor planning skills and poor balance. She also told police that Connor had difficulty tying a string and that, when given this task, one end would always be substantially longer because he had difficulty finding the center of the string. In the therapist's opinion, the dog lead tied around the support beam was too equal in length on both sides for Connor to have set it up the way it was. One of Lisa's friends, Megan Sant, came forward with text and Facebook messages exchanged between herself and Lisa while the children were on life support. Megan said she had reached out to Lisa to offer her condolences, but she found the messages sinister in hindsight. On September 25th, Lisa wrote to Megan,
"They are not going to make it. The doctors will be pulling the plug tomorrow or Friday. They need to run a few more tests, simply for the investigation. After that, my babies will be going to heaven to live with Jesus."
Megan told The Morning Call that she had known Lisa for about 15 years, although she did not consider her a close friend. Megan's brother, Michael Weaver, at one point dated Lisa, although they broke up for good in 2015. Michael died of a drug overdose on December 16, 2016, at the age of 30, at which time he was dating someone else. Megan did say, however, that when they broke up, Michael chose to become homeless rather than remain living with Lisa any longer. In late November, Lisa bagged up a bunch of her children's clothes and belongings and posted a photo of them on Facebook along with a very self-aggrandizing explanation.
All of this and more is being donated this morning to a family close to me who are in need. Being it was the beginning of the school year when my babies passed, most of their school clothing is still brand new, and I am also including a few toys. I know this family will truly appreciate and respect having some of Connor and Brinley's toys. Our kids were great friends, and this family deserves this kindness.
Again, I know that detail doesn't indicate Lisa's guilt. What it does, however, is give insight into her character and shed some light on the person who clearly meant the very most to Lisa Snyder, herself. Also in November of 2019, police received Google records of search history performed using Lisa's email address. These searches included the following. On September 17th,
carbon monoxide in a car, how long to die.
On September 20th,
almost got away with it,
and
I almost got away with it, best episodes.
On September 22nd,
hanging yourself.
On the morning of September 23rd,
do a hybrid car produce carbon monoxide?
And
does a hybrid car produce carbon monoxide while idling?
The Google records also revealed that on September 22nd, the user visited a pro-suicide website that detailed an effective way of hanging a person using a short drop and simple suspension. The chilling description on the website read,
"This is probably the simplest form of hanging, and although unconsciousness is quick, it may not be instant, and thus may or may not be a totally painless method. It should also be noted that if the process is interrupted before completion, for example, someone discovers the hanging and loosens the knot, brain damage is likely to result. Anyone attempting this method is advised to read the section Dangers of Failing and Reliability before proceeding with this method."
It went on to describe the mechanism of death, stating,
"Short drop slash suspension hanging achieves death by cutting off the oxygen supply to the brain and body, asphyxiation, and or the compression of the arteries, carotid and vertebral, and veins, jugular, in the neck. It requires little or no drop, as death is achieved simply by constriction of the trachea and or the blood vessels."
The website says,
"Interrupting the blood flow to the brain causes swift unconsciousness in 15 seconds or less, then what should be death in 5 to 10 minutes.
It goes on to say,
"If the airway is constricted and full suspension achieved, i.e. feet fully off the floor, this method, at least initially, is likely to be very painful as the person struggles for air against the compression of the noose and against the weight of their own body being supported entirely by the neck and jaw."
The site then states an estimate of 1 to 3 minutes before unconsciousness sets in, with full death within 20 minutes. Remember, Lisa said she was only out of the house for about 10 minutes. Both Connor and Brinley were found fully suspended, with their feet not touching the floor. I cannot imagine the pain and fear these two babies experienced, and I can only hope their mother had the decency to stay out of their sight during those 1 to 3 minutes of consciousness. I would hate to think that the last thing they saw was their mother's cold, emotionless face. Now that we're here talking about a website promoting suicide, I think it's a good time to bring this up. Guys, I cannot stress this enough. If you're having thoughts of suicide, reach out for help. It is never as bad as you think, and while suicide may, in theory, end your pain, it only transfers the pain to the people who care about you. If you're having thoughts of suicide and you're in the United States, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. You can also send a message to the Crisis Text Line by texting the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741 to connect with a crisis counselor. Outside the U.S., you can do a search for Suicide Hotline to find resources for immediate help. I'll include some links in the show notes. You are not alone. You are loved, and you're worthy of love. Please don't give up. On Monday, December 2nd, 2019, due to the evidence stacked against her, Lisa Snyder was finally arrested at her home. Reportedly, she showed little emotion while being taken into custody. This is where the story takes an extremely sharp turn into what the fucksville. Lisa was booked into Berks County Jail on multiple charges, including 2 counts each of first-degree and third-degree murder, endangering the welfare of children, and tampering with evidence, and 1 count each of cruelty to animals and sexual intercourse with an animal.
A fucking pardon?
You heard that correctly. Electronic evidence, including photographs and Facebook messages, were uncovered that proved Lisa had engaged in sexual activity with Boomer, the family dog. According to the probable cause affidavit, throughout September, Lisa exchanged explicit messages and pictures on Facebook with an unnamed gentleman who she called Daddy, detailing the sexual acts she and the dog performed on each other. On September 3rd, Lisa describes one of the acts in nauseating detail, complaining,
"He keeps moving every time the flash goes off."
Several hours later, she sent Daddy a photo of the dog being forced to perform a sex act on her. Later the same day, she said,
"He did good,"
mentioning that the dog bit her in a very sensitive area. On September 15th, Lisa messaged the man,
"Sorry, kid problems. Major kid problems."
2 days later, she wrote,
"Things are bad. Bullying issues, and tells me he wants to die. He's 8. Lost 25 pounds in the first 3 weeks of school. Breaks my heart. I just want to cry."
A few hours after that, she seemed to rally, writing,
"Oh, Daddy. Just took some good pics for you.
Step back, I think I'm gonna vomit!"
On September 18th, she shared 3 photos with Daddy, 2 of which included the dog. The third was a picture of herself wearing black lingerie, a nipple clip, and holding a cell phone.
"No! God, please, no! No! No!"
I hope the investigators who had to see that didn't go home and immediately pour bleach into their eyes. Honestly, though, I do give them a lot of credit. On September 19th, while describing the perversions to her Facebook paramour, Lisa mentioned she hoped he would be able to see her in some woman-on-dog action in person on Sunday, which would have been September 22nd, although she also lamented her difficulties in finding a babysitter to allow this planned date from hell to occur.
"But I just found out does work and is an all-day job, so gonna try option B, which is my mom, so don't get your hopes up, she's a bitch when it comes to babysitting."
Boomer, the dog, was mysteriously missing when police attempted to locate him. It turned out that Lisa had given him away to a woman in West Virginia who was described as a friend of a friend. On Facebook, the woman said,
"I have the dog and I wish people would leave him out of it. He is safe and sound here with me in West Virginia."
She also said,
"I'm glad I rescued him because he is the sweetest dog ever."
As an aside, remember, Boomer weighed around 50 pounds, but the dog lead Lisa picked up on the morning of September 23rd was rated for up to 250 pounds. Now, why would she need such a heavy-duty dog lead for a dog that size? As to why Boomer went missing right after the children died, Lisa claimed she gave the dog away in tribute to the kids. Seems legit. She does seem to have an answer for everything, though, doesn't she? Lisa's arrest took place after the results of the children's autopsies were returned, revealing that for both Connor and Brinley, the cause of death was determined to be the result of hanging. Toxicology screens revealed the absence of drugs in both children's systems. The Lehigh County Coroner's Office deemed the manner of death for both children was homicide. After Lisa's arrest, Berks County District Attorney John Adams gave a press conference.
"The incident that led to these charges took place on September 23rd, 2019, when a 911 call was received at approximately 4:30 p.m. at the Berks County Communications Center. The report indicated that 2 juveniles were found hanging and unresponsive in the basement by their mother, the defendant, Lisa Snyder. After discovering the children and calling 911, the mother never returned to the basement. We all may think that a mother whose children are found hanging would make every effort possible to save them. That was not done in this situation. This is a horrific, tragic incident that has received a lot of attention in our community, and we are very saddened by this incident that took place in Albany Township. 2 children's lives were lost here. This was a very emotional investigation for all of those involved. And I want to take this opportunity to applaud the professionalism and hard work of our first responders to this incident, the Kempton Fire Department, the Pennsylvania State Police. I don't know that there is any explanation for her behavior at all. I don't think that I can stand up here, nor can anyone, explain the horrific loss of 2 innocent children's lives. I think it goes without explanation.
During the press conference, Adams mentioned that Berks County Children and Youth Services had taken Connor and Owen away from Lisa in 2014, although he did not provide further details about the situation. The children were returned to their mother in February of 2015, and the case was closed in November of the same year, 3 months after Brinley was born, ending the supervision of the Snyder family by caseworkers. At the time, according to Adams, returning the children seemed to be
the proper decision.
He did, however, continue,
"If we could anticipate that this would happen, the children would never have been returned."
The week Lisa Rochelle Snyder was arrested, another local woman named Lisa Ann Snyder, who actually knew Connor Brinley and their mother, was flooded with nasty Facebook messages from people confusing her with the suspect because of their similar names. Lisa Ann Snyder had, not long before, had her leg amputated due to a rare disease, and the added stress of being misidentified as a child murderer took a toll on her.
There were hundreds of disgusting, like, messages threatening and calling me all kinds of names and, you know, just, "You're a disgusting person." Put all your energy into praying for those kids, seeing how you could help that family.
In December, a drive organized by teachers at Greenwich Elementary School yielded astonishing results. Staff and students at the school, with the help of many individuals and businesses in the community, collected over 3,600 stuffed bears and other stuffed animals in remembrance of Connor and Brinley. Ms. Blatt, the fifth grade teacher who organized the drive, said in a statement,
"When Connor and Brinley Snyder died unexpectedly and tragically, everyone wanted to do something to help the community heal and to memorialize these two very special children."
The idea was born to host a teddy bear collection in honor of Connor and Brinley, and then donate the bears to local first responders, hospitals, and agencies to aid children. School staff, emergency response personnel, and first responders, including police and firefighters, formed a chain from the school gymnasium to load the thousands of toys into waiting police cruisers, ambulances, and fire trucks. On a wave of staff and students cheering and sirens blaring, the emergency vehicles departed with their cargo. Principal Aaron J. Anderson and Superintendent Christian Timchatton said in a statement,
"The staff at Greenwich Elementary is overwhelmed and humbled by the positive response to the bear drive. We are eternally grateful to all those who donated and helped distribute the bears to those children in need of comfort. We are hopeful the bears are able to bring joy and comfort to others the way Connor and Brinley brought joy and comfort to all they knew."
The preliminary hearing for now 37-year-old Lisa Snyder was held on Wednesday, February 12, 2020. Lisa showed no emotion in court, not reacting to any of the damning testimony against her from nearly a dozen witnesses over 4 hours. She wore bright yellow prison garb, which signifies an inmate is in protective custody. General population inmates at the Berks County Jail wear blue. The first witness called by Berks County Assistant District Attorney Meg McCallum was Eric Bubbenmoyer, an emergency room nurse at Lehigh Valley Hospital near Allentown, who was also a volunteer first responder with the Kempton Fire Company. Eric described his experience on September 23, 2019. He said his pager went off at about 4:30 p.m., asking him to respond to a home along Route 143 in Albany Township, where two children were reportedly in cardiac arrest. On the radio in his truck, he heard a dispatcher from the Berks County 911 Center communicating that the two children were found hanging in the basement of the home. Unable to process what he was hearing, Bubbenmoyer asked the dispatcher several times to repeat the information. Bubbenmoyer testified that when he and another first responder reached the home, state police had not yet arrived. Lisa Snyder answered the door, appearing
very anxious and nervous, but she wasn't crying,
and she was distracted by talking on her cell phone. When the two medics proceeded down the narrow basement steps, they found the two children hanging from the rafters to the left of the stairs from nooses fashioned from either end of a purple vinyl-coated dog lead, which had been slung over a support beam. Because the children were still warm, the medics attempted to free them from the nooses. The second medic easily freed Brinley, who was the smaller of the two kids, but Connor was too heavy for Bubbenmoyer to lift on his own, so the two medics lowered the boy to the floor and began CPR on both children. Trooper Jeffrey A. Hummel from the Hamburg Station of the Pennsylvania State Police was the first police officer on the scene, which he described as chaotic, with Lisa and several relatives in front of the house and several people in the kitchen. He described crouching to descend the basement stairs, which the responders determined were too narrow to logistically carry Connor upstairs, as his weight was well above average for his age. Hummel and another trooper instead carried Connor on a stretcher out the Bilco door to the waiting ambulance. Hummel became choked up with emotion when asked on the witness stand to identify Connor and Brinley in a photograph of the two live, healthy, smiling children. Lisa's attorney, Dennis Charles, asked Hummel why he was so upset about the deaths of two kids he didn't even know. Hummel replied,
"I'm human."
According to Hummel's testimony, Lisa told him about Connor being bullied at school, telling him that she had left a message for a guidance counselor at her son's school but did not receive a return call. She told Hummel that Connor appeared stressed when he got off the school bus the day of the incident, and that when he couldn't find the charger for his iPad, he asked Lisa if he could borrow the dog leash he had purchased online and picked up from Walmart that very morning, saying he wanted to use it to build a fort in the basement by draping a blanket over it. Lisa's 20-year-old cousin, Kimberlyn Watson, claimed during her testimony that she spent a lot of time with the children and had a particularly close relationship with Connor, describing him as
a happy kid who loved being around his classmates,
according to WFMZ. Kimberlyn refuted Lisa's claims that the little boy was either bullied or suicidal. About a week before the kids were found hanging, Lisa sent a group Facebook message to some members of her family, telling them that Connor was being bullied and had expressed thoughts of suicide, asking for them to
show him some love.
Kimberlyn picked Connor up at school that day but didn't notice any signs the little boy was upset. Kimberlyn testified,
"I said, 'Are you happy I picked you up?' And he said, 'Yeah, but I do like riding the bus. I have a lot of friends on the bus.'"
She spent the next few hours with Connor until his mother picked him up from the business owned by Kimberlyn's family.
"He never looked sad that day."
Kimberlyn, who refused to look in Lisa's direction at the hearing, has a tattoo of blue and pink butterflies on her right wrist in memory of Connor and Brinley. A friend of Lisa's, Jessica Senft, testified about a text message she got from Lisa in early October in which Lisa confessed she
needed to have two strong drinks.
Lisa later visited Jessica's home, telling her that police had been to the Snyder house multiple times looking for one of Lisa's cell phones. She was worried, Jessica said, over what investigators would find in online searches performed
under Connor's account
because she
was looking up how to kill someone.
Jessica also testified that Lisa told her she was thinking about checking herself into a psychiatric hospital for depression, and that if she was charged with the children's murders, she planned to
get out on bail and kill herself.
Luckily, in Pennsylvania, first-degree murder is a non-bailable offense. State Trooper Ian Keck testified that police seized one of Lisa's cell phones, which was issued to her as part of a public assistance program, but they have not recovered a Samsung Galaxy Note 9 smartphone belonging to Lisa. Police believe the missing phone contains a great deal of evidence. On the day the children were hanged, Lisa told police she had lost the Samsung phone that day or the day before. A week or so later, she changed her story, saying she had lost the phone over a month earlier. Keck also testified that investigators tried to confirm Lisa's claims of Connor being bullied and depressed by interviewing staff and students at Greenwich Elementary, but everyone, the principal, the guidance counselor, and students alike, said that Connor was happy and had many friends. Police also viewed school bus security camera footage. Lisa told police that Connor came home the day of the hangings highly distressed, but the video footage showed otherwise, depicting Connor horsing around with other kids and smiling and waving as he ran off the bus. Keck testified that there was only one person police could find who said anything about Connor's alleged bullying, and that was Lisa Snyder herself. The hearing was held at the Berks County Courthouse in downtown Reading instead of the judge's office in Hamburg because of the high-profile nature of the case, which required heightened security due to online death threats made against Lisa. Anyone who entered the courtroom for the hearing, including media, were screened by security staff and required to surrender their cell phones to deputies from the sheriff's office. Lisa was, and still is, represented by private attorney Dennis Charles, who told the court,
"You don't have any evidence that Lisa Snyder hanged these children."
He said the case against Lisa is
based on speculation and guesswork.
At the conclusion of the hearing, Magisterial District Judge Kim Bagenstos ruled that Lisa Snyder would stand trial. At Lisa Snyder's formal arraignment on Thursday, March 12th, in front of Berks County Judge Paul Yatron, prosecutors filed aggravating factors which elevated Lisa's to a death penalty case. The aggravated factors cited by Chief Deputy District Attorney Margaret McCollum, which elevate Lisa's case to one of capital murder, include the fact that there were multiple victims, the victims were under the age of 12, and the murders were committed in the perpetration of another felony. District Attorney John Adams said,
"The decision to seek the death penalty was not made lightly, but we decided there was overwhelming evidence of the aggravating factors."
As a side note, Pennsylvania has only executed 3 prisoners since 1976. The most recent execution was Gary Heidnik, a murderer infamous for holding women prisoner in his Philadelphia basement. Heidnik received a death sentence and was executed by lethal injection in July of 1999. At the arraignment, Lisa pleaded not guilty to all of the charges against her. In June of 2020, Lisa and her attorney went to court to claim that Lisa was in forma pauperis, meaning she did not have the ability to pay for her defense. It's definitely not unusual for a defendant in any state to receive a court-appointed attorney at no cost to the defendant. However, in this case, Lisa had, many months before, retained Dennis Charles, a private attorney from Allentown who undoubtedly charges a lot more money than any public defender would receive from the state, and Lisa wants the state to continue paying for her to use the services of Mr. Charles. Charles told Judge Paul Yatron that for at least 5 years before her arrest, Lisa did not work outside the home. He also said that she did not own any real estate. Her home was, in fact, owned by her grandparents. At the time of her arrest, he told the judge, Lisa had less than $400 in the bank. Lisa's only asset was her 2017 Ford Fusion, which she obtained by trading in a Jeep her grandfather apparently gave her. The vehicle was worth about $23,000. At the court hearing in June, it was revealed that Lisa's mother and stepfather had dipped into their retirement fund to retain Dennis Charles as Lisa's attorney, and they wanted to sell the vehicle to recover their funds. Prosecutors, however, argued that money should be used to pay for Lisa's defense before any taxpayer funds needed to be used. In August, the judge approved Lisa's request for public funds, granting her motion to proceed in forma pauperis. It is unclear if Dennis Charles will remain on the case, or if Lisa will be assigned a public defender. The most recent development in the case took place on August 21, 2020, when Mr. Charles filed a motion requesting court appointment of a mitigation specialist and a private investigator. There's been no ruling as of yet on that motion. Lisa's next court date is a status hearing at 8:30 a.m. on Thursday, November 12th. She is still being held at the Berks County Jail. There are a lot of unanswered questions in this case, but one of the big ones is, how did Lisa manage to hang not just one, but both of her children? There are several theories floating around. Some people think she somehow knocked the kids out first, although the autopsies found no drugs or other intoxicants in their systems, and it's hard to believe she would have been able to lift 150-pound Connor on her own. Some believe she killed the kids one at a time, most likely Connor first, since he was larger. The most likely scenario, in my opinion, is that Lisa framed the situation as a game to Connor and Brinley, coaxing them into the basement where she had them stand on the dining room chair she had set up, put the nooses she had fashioned out of either end of the dog lead around their necks, and either knocked the chairs out from under them or somehow convinced them to jump. It's almost unthinkable. In May, a beautiful memorial bench was placed at the Kempton Community Center playground in honor of Brinley and Connor. The bench, which was designed by their older brother, Owen, is engraved with both of the kids' names, as well as the inscription,
"Taken before their time. Never to be forgotten. September 26, 2019.
A GoFundMe was set up to help Connor and Brinley's older brother, Owen. Owen, who is now 18, graduated high school in June of 2020 and received a new truck as well. More recently, in August, he started a new job at a local battery manufacturing facility. I truly wish Owen the best. According to the kids' obituary, which unfortunately was written by Lisa, 8-year-old Connor Seth Snyder loved playing video games and building forts. At the time of her death, 4-year-old Brinley Louise Snyder, who was attending her second year of pre-kindergarten at Kutztown's Early Learning Community, loved playing dress-up and the movie Frozen. A professional from Connor's school wrote,
"Connor was always smiling and happy. Recently, he became very interested in the book series Dog Man. He could often be found giggling to himself while reading them during reading workshop. He had a growing love of science, specifically rocks and minerals, and was looking forward to the upcoming science unit. He would often bring rocks to show his teacher. He spoke lovingly of his sister Brinley. Often, when he would have the opportunity to pick a reward in school, he would select something that he could bring home for her."
Brinley and Connor were said to have a very close, very special bond, so at least we can take comfort in knowing they're still together, wherever they are. Rest well, Connor and Brinley. There will be justice for you, and you will never be forgotten. Before I end the episode, I want to reiterate that no matter how badly you might feel at any given moment, you are not alone and it will get better. please don't give up. I care about you, and I know a lot of other people do too. Again, in the U.S., the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline can be reached at 800-273-8255. And for the crisis text line, text the word HOME to 741-741. That's it for this week, guys. Join me next week for another case. If you like the show, please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. And please subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildren.pod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe on YouTube by searching Suffer the Little Children Podcast. Visit the website at www.sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes and become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout-out by name on the show to exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at Suffer the Little Children Pod, and on Twitter at STLCPod. View photos related to today's case on Facebook and Instagram. Read more about today's case and many others at SufferTheLittleChildrenBlog.com. This podcast was written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. Intro theme music is by Dream Note Music. Other music and sound effects for the show were created using sounds from AudioJungle.net. Hug your babies a bit closer tonight. Until next week, bye guys.